This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Proverbs 10 with the way of the Lord and then head back to Genesis chapters 37 and 38, picking up with Joseph's dreams, Joseph betrayed, Joseph sold, and Judah, and Onan. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Glorious is God with his angels and saints.
Glorious is God with his angels and saints.
Oh.
A reading from Titus chapter 3. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father,
and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's mercy in the midst of this mess. The Apostle Paul left Titus in Crete to complete the task of setting things in order in these newly formed congregations. He was to appoint elders, overseers, or pastors who will tend God's flock in this place. From Paul's instruction to Titus, it is apparent, to borrow the language of Boyertz, that yes, even pastors have an old Adam. The old man is not eradicated at ordination. In fact, old Adam can live quite comfortably under the cover of alb and stole. Paul exhorts Titus, and through him the Cretan overseers that he will appoint, and ultimately us, that we are to adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life. In words that echo Romans 13, Paul directs the Lord's servants to be submissive to rulers and civil authorities. Transferred from the realm of darkness into the kingdom of light, Christ's holy people are created for a life of good works. The Lord sets a guard over the door of our lips so that we may speak the truth in love. We are to be stripped of the self-centered prickliness that takes delight in quarrelsomeness, showing instead a civility to all people. This is not a life that comes to us by nature. Our text lays out what we have inherited from Adam. We were fools and rebels, led around by passions that promise pleasure but deliver pain, wasting our time in envy, living as victims of the hate of others, and making victims of others by our hatred of them. That might seem enough, but Paul doesn't stop there, as at the end of our text, he comes to those sins that seem to thrive among the pious: dead-ended arguments, worthless and without merit disputations about the law. Arguments and confusion over genealogies, and an eagerness to incite divisions by asserting just how right we are and how wrong someone else is. In the midst of this catalog of unrelenting demands, the apostle points us to the premise of our baptism. He does not stand alongside Titus as a clergy coach, prodding him to just try a little harder and assuring him that if he does, he will reach his full potential. If he just buckles down and takes the law with a little more seriousness. No, the apostle does what apostles do. He preaches Christ. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And then Paul continues with those words that you know from the Small Catechism. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Our good intentions so often fail. Our good works, even those that flow from faith, still bear the frightening fingerprints of the old Adam. They are not the object of your trust. They are not trustworthy. There is but one who is trustworthy, and he is our Savior, who saved us not on account of our good works, however praiseworthy they may be, but only through his mercy, demonstrated in the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You are made a recipient of this in baptism, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Here you were joined to Jesus' death. And if you have died with him, you will also live with him. This is the promise given you in your baptism, and it is trustworthy. This baptism is not simply an event in the rearview mirror that happened for many of us, perhaps most of us, before we could even remember it. Baptism is the reality in which the Christian now lives and to which we continually return. To paraphrase the Large Catechism, the life of the Christian is a continual return and approach to baptism. Or in the language of the Small Catechism, baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. What then do you do with all the sins that the words of our text have exposed and uncovered in you? The foolishness of your faithless heart, the enslavement to a never-ending parade of passions and pleasures, the hatred, the envy, the love for controversy, and all the rest. You are not trustworthy to handle them. There is one who is. His name is Christ Jesus. By his death, he has achieved what you could never earn, the forgiveness of sin. He has reconciled the Father to you and you to his Father. He has put all of his redeeming work for you in baptism. In baptism, you have died to sin. So leave those sins buried in Jesus' tomb and in the promise of his resurrection. Live in the newness of life as the heir of hope, a hope that will not disappoint you, because Jesus is true and trustworthy. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, visit the homes in which your people dwell, and keep all harm and danger far from them. Grant that we may dwell together in peace, under the protection of your holy angels, sharing eternally in your blessings, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.